And welcome to the Under the Bus podcast. It has been a while. I am not joined by Merch for once, so I could just shoot it automatically to Alan. Alan, my friend, how are you doing?
I'm all right. How's everyone doing on that side of the pond? There's a beautiful day here. Man. We are looking at about 78 degrees Fahrenheit.
It's about 77 here as well, here in Lancaster, California. I know it's a terrible place, everyone says, but I'm a hermit and I don't care about going out anywhere. And then we got our buddy Nas here to cause problems as usual. How are you doing, Nas?
I've mellowed out, man. I am out of that business. I am here to just talk strictly basketball.
Fantastic.
No, that's not true. I'll say some asshole shit every once in a while. But, you know, whatever. Hope you guys are having a good day. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm also in a great mood because, you know, the Glazers are going. It's a beautiful day in Manchester.
Yeah. Yep. Originally I had planned on recording at least one or two podcasts last week with like Merge and everything, but last Monday night my wife and I added our third child, a little boy.
Yay.
Yeah, he had a short stint in NICU because he was a tad bit early, but he is home, he is healthy, and he is doing well now. So we are very happy. I now have to go get the snip myself because we do not want a fourth. But you know, that's excuse me. That's why a bit of a longer delay than wanting to, along with end of school year shenanigans and whatnot. So hopefully we will be recording more. I know it's going to be, you know, the off season and everything, but we've got the draft, which we'll be talking with Alan and Nas today. Also later, Merge and I will be recording another podcast, talking more draft. But then also, obviously, we have the draft tomorrow. So Merge has his work cut out for posting both of these pods by tomorrow. After the draft, we'll talk about everything that went down there, along with obviously everything with the Lakers. And then free agency. We will, that will be very interesting for the Lakers, as everyone knows. So let's go ahead and get into it. The Lakers hold picks 17 and 47. We're going to kind of focus on 17 since that's, you know, the big one for LA. Now, the Lakers have a lot of different options. We've seen a lot of people talk about it, such as Jovan over at The Athletic. You know, probably Pink has just talked about it. I obviously, as I said, haven't been online as much as I would have liked to be. I'm not also as researched as I would like to be because last week was my time that I was going to spend on draft stuff. I know, but you know, got to deal with the little one and NICU. So, all that said, 17. That is kind of in that no man's land of you are just out of reach out of the really good players that most of us like, and it's just a little too high to take some of the players that are in that range. Lakers, for example, have been mocked anywhere from Derek Lively, Kobe Bufkin, Leonard Miller, Cason Wallace, Jordan Hood, Schifiano. I've seen Chris Murray, but that was earlier in the process. Also, Jordan Hawkins, and I've seen recently more Noah Clowney and Nick Smith. And also earlier on, Jet Howard from Michigan. That's a lot of names. And honestly, of them, only like four of the names that I said were picks that I would be absolutely ecstatic with at 17. The rest of those, most of them I'd be like, okay, I get it. It's fine. And then a couple such as Noah Clowney, Nick Smith Jr., and Jet Howard in particular for me, I am not for at 17. That's dead before we get to talking to all of them, and I think we can all agree with this. Previously in the past, if as you've listened to us over the years, I have gotten very upset with some of the picks. I am going to trust Joey and Jesse and whoever they pick. Regardless, I mean, I can still criticize, but I will be happy with whoever they pick. First off, let's kind of real quick go over the guys that probably won't be there. Derek Lively, I don't see him being there at 17. Do either of you guys see him?
Nope.
No.
Top 10.
No,
top
he's 10. Probably going.
Especially, because Jonathan Giovanni said that he has killed every single workout he has had with every single team.
Yeah, and the athletic freak with ridiculous tools. Yeah, developing some skills. He's not, like, I don't think the shooting will be there from day one, but it's a tool. Yeah, no, that's one that's interesting. He's probably gone by about 10. I think Dallas, if Dallas makes that pick, is probably where he goes. And then Leonard Miller seems to be dropping for some reason. I don't know why. He's my guy, kind of, at 17, along with Bilal Coulibaly. Listeners,
it's Bilal Coulibaly.
Bilal. There, whatever. I'll eventually get it right. I got your back, bro. Thank you.
If you could see Naz's face right now, it is worth $1 million.
Yeah, yeah. The white person messing up people's names, it's always a treat. He was teammates with Victor Wembanyama. Oh my God, I'm going to mess up everyone's name now. Thank you. I'm going to mess up everyone's name, even though I've heard his name I don't know how many times now.
How about Chet Howard? How are you going to do on that one?
Howard? Yet Howard? But anyways. Those two were teammates. Bilal probably won't be there. He has gotten a lot of helium as of late. And then one that
too
I think
much helium, if you ask me.
Yeah, I get that. I get that.
I think he's a 20 to 25 range.
I'm much higher on that. I think if you were to say like from 13 on, that makes a lot of sense.
I get teams taking a swing on him from 13 on, but if you were to ask me where I would have him, being that 20 to 25 range.
Yeah, if he was there at 13, I'm sprinting from California to wherever they're holding the draft. I'm sprinting there to turn it up.
Side question. The draft's going to be at 2 o'clock tomorrow, right?
Oh, God, is it really that early?
Yeah, please, God, just for me so I can sleep.
I think it's early because they know that Wemby's going to be picked first.
I'll look it up. It is, 8 p.m. Eastern time.
Okay.
So still 5 o'clock Western, West Coast time. Anyways, I went Wemby's over.
Sleep deprived on Friday.
Yep, as usual. Grady Dick is a popular name for a lot of draft Knicks. He probably will be gone as well. So that kind of leaves Cason Wallace, who might be in that range, Jalen Hood-Schifiano, Chris Murray, I would not pick at 17, Jordan Hawkins, and a host of other guys. Naz, if the Lakers hold fast at 17, who is your top or top one or top three guys?
My top guy would be Leonard Miller. That's the guy. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, like, I'm like on the same boat as you. It's like not even Leonard Miller. I'm like not even that high on him because he has a lot of redundancy with Vando, right? Like, he's stronger than he is and he finishes better, but he has a lot of redundancy with the merch. He's like super raw. Like offensively, but he's stronger. But I'm in the same boat as you, where it's like I'm not really in love with anybody at 17. I'd either move up or move down or move out of it completely. You know, like depending on the rotational player that you're gonna get. But yeah, like it's Leonard Miller, JHS,
Jalen Hood-Schifiano.
Yep, I like him. Camp Whitmore is sliding.
Who?
Yeah. Cam?
Whitmore?
Yeah.
Sliding. Oh, I think he's going top five. I haven't seen that sort of drop from him.
Yeah, like the injury concerns apparently are getting high, but if he drops to 17, okay. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not gonna knock it, but like any other guys like Chet Howard, you know, I liked him at first, right? But then this whole process, it makes you hate players, to be honest with you, or not even hate, but like you're just like, you're like, you know, you start getting doubts, like just by scouting all these players, right? You take a look at them. I don't care who the prospect is, you'll find something wrong with them, and you start like doubting them, players. And you know, I like Jet. I still like him, but not at 17. So that's kind of the issue that I have with the whole picks that we have, like our slot. Like, there's nothing as of that, as of this moment, where I'm like, well, we got to get him, like, you know, at 17, like, assuming that the draft goes the way it's supposed to, right? Because if anybody, falls, like, for example, like, Derek Lively somehow falls, which I doubt he will, but, like, let's just say he somehow falls into 17, right? Of course you draft him. You know what I mean? But, like, other than that, I'm not really in love with anybody at 17, to be honest with you.
I understand that. Alan?
Yeah, we're right outside that sweet spot, aren't we? Where I think if we were lower down, you can sort of like get some of the bets they want to take on some of these guys. Or if you're higher up, you get like a Bilal Coulibaly as a project, or you get a Derek Lively, who I think will be a project for at least the first year anyway. Or you get like a Grady Dick. I really like Grady Dick. I think he's going to be a really, he's not athletically the best, but I also don't think he's a bad athlete.
No, he's average, maybe slightly above.
And he can shoot the hell out of the ball. And yeah, I'd be a real fan of him in LA, only because of Nas's jokes more than anything.
Oh God, the Dick for three is going to be. It's whoever gets Grady Dick, the memes are going to be fantastic.
Oh no, it's going to be even worse because we have Billy Whack, like, announcing our games, unfortunately.
He's gonna make some really horrible innuendos by accident as well.
Oh, man, it's
unintentional. Like, he thinks that he's a wholesome dude, but, like, you know, he has no idea what he's saying. Like, Fresh Snow from, like, Malik Monk, when he knew that he had a coke problem, it's like, what? You know? Why would you say that? So, like, you know, he's gonna say some, like, ridiculous stuff, Grady Dick, like, you know, whoa, Dick, whoa, you know, awful. But
it's worth
yeah.
it just for that, though. It's worth it just for that. I train up just to hear that shit.
Anyone else, Alan, besides Grady?
Okay, can we trade up for Scoot Henderson?
Oh God,
just joking. But obviously, I'm not joking. If it can happen, but it definitely won't happen. But you know, yeah, Grady Dick's been my favorite player. I like Chris Murray. I'm not a big fan of him at 17. If you could get him like 23, 24, then yeah, I like him. I don't get the Jordan. I get people buying on Villanova players because they apparently just seem to work in the NBA now.
Well, Jordan, you said Jordan Hawkins, he's from Connecticut.
Connecticut, yeah. My bad.
Well, he just won the title.
He just won the national title.
Yeah.
And Hawkins is a good, not great shooter, but people have, like, elevated him into this echelon of
elite, and he's not.
Yeah, and he's not. And he's a good shooter. I'm not saying he's trash. He's good, but he's good. Like, I don't know. Jet Howard has no defense, or very minimal defensive capabilities from what I've seen on tape. He's a good scorer, but I'm with Nas a little bit. I don't really want combo guards at all.
Please, too.
So, like, can you either get me like a big or a wing? Like, that's all I ask for in this draft.
Like, really quickly, man, can you imagine Ham playing four guards again? I will fucking go to El Segundo myself and, like, oh my God, dude, I just can't. No, I can't. I can't do this again. Yeah. All right? No.
Yeah. I think the thing with Jordan Hawkins, yeah, he's only a 38% shooter from three, which, yes, that's a good shooter. He's a good movement shooter, so, like, a skill set of a shooter. He just didn't connect. His freshman year, he was only 33%, and overall this year, he was only 40%. From the field. He did shoot 88% from the free throw. So that is generally a really good indicator. But, like, I would feel totally and utterly whelmed. And I was listening before we started recording the podcast with Sam Vecini's podcast. I don't even know who his new guest is. Can't remember. But like they put on Jordan Hawkins and it was just kind of like, well, he can shoot. And one, it just left you wanting. Like, he's not an elite shooter. He just flat out isn't. So like, I don't understand of like, yeah, you want to surround. Yeah. Yes. You do want to surround LeBron with shooters, but like, if you're going to go after just a shooter, then trade up further for like Grady Dick, who I think is a much better shooter. You know, trade up for
Grady. You Grady's know, my or, best shooter in this class, like just as a pure shooter.
Kobe Bufkin. I would rather, if you're going for that combo-ish guard, I'd rather have Kobe Bufkin, because Kobe Bufkin was actually a good defender at Michigan. At the end of the year, he was averaging 17 points a game. He was shooting, I think, 38% from three by the end of the year. Like, it's just, I'm not, like, and Bufkin's ceiling is just higher. Like if you're going for Jordan Hawkins, it just seems...
I don't think Bufkin makes it past, like, 8 or 9, though. I really
don't. I think he does. I think he's easily in that later lottery. I think, like, 12, 13, 14.
That's sort of the recent buzz has been, though.
No, I mean, like, if Anthony Black is taken before him, or like, okay, so let's, real quick, let's go over the top 10, because how you said Kobe Bufkin. Bufkin is at 11 on Sam Vecini's board. You got Victor, you got Scoot, you got Cam Whitmore, who I know Nas just said injury concerns. I don't see him lasting past five.
While we're talking about the top 10 prospects, we all agree that Brandon Miller is off draft boards.
After those comments. Yes, after those comments, he's undraftable. Nas, did you put it in the chat, or someone else put it in the chat of that it almost seems like a ploy or whatever? Like, he was kind of trying to speak towards a certain... Yeah. It was you from Rod Boone.
Like Mitch said, that they're not in the position to be taking guys out of a position.
Yeah.
Like a position. They're going to pick the best available guy. It's going to be Scoot, man.
Yeah. And then a guy was... I don't even know who this... He's a Hornets fan, but... he was quote tweeting that Adam Zagoria video about Brandon Miller and PG and whatnot. Y'all had me convinced for a couple hours, but this man is not going number two. Look at what MJ told him versus what MJ told Scoot. It's very clear to see who he's taking. I think with the rumor that the Blazers could trade for Paul George, it almost kind of seems like he's trying to mold himself after Paul George now, if you understand what I'm saying, for Brandon Miller. Like, yeah, Portland, take me, because I know that Charlotte isn't taking me. But, yeah. All right, so back to that. Brandon Miller will go, obviously, top four, top three. Then Cam Whitmore in there as well. Amen Thompson. Jairus Wallace, Taylor Hendricks, Anthony Black, Assur Thompson, Derek Lively. I don't know where, unless teams are not convinced of Anthony Black and maybe Derek Lively, that's the only way I see Kobe Bufkin going higher than it going into the top 10, unless it's at 10. Because I think Anthony Black has very good size and good defense, and Anthony Black is almost kind of like in that Lonzo mold. He's not as long as Lonzo, where we believe that Lonzo was more in that 7-foot wingspan. He's more of 6'8", but he's very smart when it comes to basketball. I think that could be the one. Maybe Taylor Hendricks drops, since he's kind of like he's a big guy who doesn't really like to drive the ball much, I guess. I guess I just don't see it with Kobe Bufkin going that high. Sorry. Then, Alan, you had said Grady Dick was your guy. I'm sorry. Chris Murray, if it was further back, You're not really convinced about Jordan Hawkins. Of any of the other names.
Not convinced just means essentially if we pick him, I won't be mad, but I also wouldn't be terribly excited by it either, because I think he's a good player. I just think he's been overhyped a little bit.
Hawkins?
Hawkins. Yeah. I'm not saying he's a bad... I think he'll be a good NBA player, but it doesn't excite me. Player-wise, not particularly. Those are like my few favorites that I've mentioned.
Gotcha.
Lennon Miller, too, if he falls to 17. I think that's a no-brainer.
Yeah. Lennon Miller seems to be slipping. And I don't exactly know why. I guess it could be because teams think of him as more of like that Jared Vanderbilt type, as Nas had said. So maybe they're just that worried about the offense. I don't know. I think his defense is already pretty dang good. Kayson Wallace would be a guy I'd be interested in. But as Nas has said in chats, I'm tired of combo guards. If you want like a true point guard, Bufkin could possibly be a lead guard, kind of in like a possible like Jordan Poole-ish mode. I know I'm probably using the Michigan one off of that. They're about the same size. I know Nas hated that right now because he hates Jordan Poole just like me. I was never a Poole guy. Never. So like, I'm just kind of saying in that form. Or if Anthony Black is falling, you can go after him. But then, yeah, as you guys have said, wings or
bigs
or a big. And really the only other big that would be sensible other than Lively, and obviously Victor will not be there. He's for sure going one without a doubt. Could be Noah Clowney. And I am 100% not with Noah Clowney, not for it. He's like essentially a 4-5 he's really young, and maybe like if you were to trade back some, but like at 17, I'm not for that. And then really after that, the next kind of big isn't until like James Nnaji from Barcelona, who I like. He's got good tools. I know someone on Lakers Twitter was talking about him at 17. You were brain dead, but I mean, we already know that. But at 47, if he's available, he's got a lot of tools that I really like. But yeah, I'm not exactly sure of any other ones. You just kind of have to go bigs or wings, I should say.
There's a decent Whitehead, amount of wings. We're assuming that Derek Whitehead's drafted way before 17, right?
We're assuming that someone drafts him. No, I'm assuming he goes after his injury history, and he had to go get that foot reworked on. Mm-hmm. I think is going to worry teams. If Derek Whitehead is there at 47, I am so happy about that. He was a top like 3 prospect coming to Duke last year, like really high value. But like I think he's going to be picked anywhere from like. Really, if he gets past Brooklyn, I would be surprised. Brooklyn has like 21 and 22, and they are the spot for him to go, really. Like, they now have no reason not to try that. But, hey, if the medical's clear and everything, it's a good swing. Like, he's uber talented. He had a bit of a rough time at Duke, but, like, he is just so supremely talented. It's not even funny. All right. Merge and I will dive more into the picks more individualized, but let's go ahead since Nas is here and Alan is just chilling at the moment. Let's talk about some player trades. 17
That's
is
how you pick my interest. Oh,
yeah. Well, actually, Nas has to go. He's got to take care of his son. Deuces, bro.
There's.
So. All right, Alan, let's go ahead and talk about some of the players that have been mentioned. We've had, you know, the report from Jovan today of potential players.
And one of those players seems to have been taken off the board, thank God.
Which player? Oh, Porzingis. Kristaps Porzingis. It looks like he is being traded to the Celtics. At least the framework is there for it. Royce O'Neal, Dorian Finney-Smith, those are two options from Brooklyn.
I'd want both, though.
You want both?
For 17, yeah, I'd want both.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. I'm saying if you get... Honestly, I only want one of them. And I think the one that I would want would be Bryce. Or not Bryce, sorry. I was looking at my tablet as well. I would rather have
looking at Carolina Panthers players.
Oh, gosh. No, I saw Bryce and Sabah as I was talking. I would rather have Royce because I think he can shoot better than Dorian Finney-Smith. I'd rather have Royce and then try to trade back for one of those other picks. And then you're feeling a bit more confident in some of those other players. It opens up.
I wouldn't be mad at Dorian either.
No, if you could get one of them and then a trade back, I'd be fine with. I feel like I would still want more. I don't know, but
I think we'll get Gary Trent.
I think that's also the thing. The problem is like I'm not just trading like 17 for and like Malik for Gary Trent. That might be
what pick do the Raptors have?
They have 13 and like 55 or something like that. Or they might not even know. I think it's going to San Antonio. And the problem with a lot of their draft picks in the next couple of years, it's because it's tied to that garbage trade they made for Jakob Poeltl.
Oh my god, it is, isn't it?
Yeah. After this year, the next 3 years are tied up with San Antonio. They own their first the pick if it's 1 through 6, but then after that, like 7 through 30, it goes to San Antonio. So it makes it hard to deal with that. I don't particularly like trading 17 for Gary Trent on a 1 year. Like that doesn't make any sense to me. No. Now, if you wanna go like Malik. And then also add in like Mo Bamba in there, and then 47, and you get Gary Trent. You also get Christian Coloco, and I don't know, a second next year. I'd be more interested in something like that. And
I
then
love
looking
Coloco.
And then trying to he's a young big that you can mold, you know. And then
and he's
trading.
Good now.
Yeah,
and he's good now.
Yeah, he's a solid backup big right now. And then trying to look at, see if like Indiana would do 21 for, or not, sorry, 17 for, I think they've got 26 and they've got 40 as well.
Yeah.
Since my targets before were 26 and 32, but they traded 29 and 32 to Denver Denver, of course, is being smart about things right now.
What an organization Denver is, by the way.
Yeah, winning their first NBA championship and then looking at other things with that 29 and 32 pick, they could replace Bruce Brown
quite easily.
Yeah,
and I like and I'm a big believer in Bruce Brown, so I'm not even saying it lightly.
Yeah,
but then you get him on a rookie. You get these kids on rookie scale deals as well.
Yep, they could get like a Ben Shepherd, a 6'5 wing from Belmont, Andre Jackson from UConn, a Kobe Brown who's a bit
and Chris
like
Brown
a four.
Will be a year on in his development, and I like Brown a lot. I think he was very good for him last year.
Mm-hmm, definitely, they could if they're looking for more of a defensive cutter and a cutter like Bruce Brown. You could get a bigger version of him with City Cisco. Now, obviously, he's not quite the ball handler, and he's pretty dang raw, but that's an option. I mean, they could go for – I mean, honestly, that 26 and 40 range, you could even package 40 and 47 to move up and get look at guys at, like, G.G. Jackson from South Carolina. I know some people like him. Maxwell Lewis from Pepperdine. Ryan Rupert from New Zealand, who is 6'6 with a 7'2 wingspan. Yeah, you could. I mean, at 40, also James Naji from Barcelona, as I said, you know, like
I really like him.
So there's a lot of guys in there that you could go after. You said Gary Trent. Is there anyone else in particular?
Who I'd like or who I think we'll try and get?
both. I know Buddy Hield and Miles Turner are going to be talked about.
I think Miles Turner's awesome, though, so I wouldn't be mad at Miles Turner coming to the Lakers.
No, I would still want, if I'm the Lakers and you were telling me that you are trading, you know, Malik Beasley and Shaq Harrison for Miles Turner, because I think that gets you money-wise, I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
And you're trading 17 for then like 32. I'm interested. Obviously I would prefer 26, but like you have to take a downgrade in picks there because Miles Turner is good. I still have my concerns about continuing to just try and play two bigs with
I think it's aging more,
and
I think it's more regular season protection, but then the fact that in an offense Miles Turner could essentially be the four as well because he could just spot up,
yeah,
in the playoffs. And I think
but that's that the thing. He didn't want to do that in Indiana. He had complained
respectfully
about that.
To Indiana though. It's different when you're playing with Bron and AD, even though it's Bron at 38.
Yeah,
it's different.
True.
It just is.
No, and like if you were to tell me that you were able to do that,
if you're doing it for Goga Bitadze or you're doing it for Anthony Davis, you'll do it for Anthony Davis.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, I would definitely do something like that. I'm not trading 17 and those guys just for Miles Turner.
Mm-hmm. No, I neither.
You have to. You in this draft, you have to have at least two picks. In my opinion, you
especially with our scouting department.
Yeah, this draft is so chock full of guys. It's not even funny. I mean, if you go, I keep going back to Vecini's big board. That's because it's really the best comprehensive big board available.
Vecini kills it, man. With the draft, yeah, he kills it.
At 32, you know, you have Sidy Cisco. At 34, Ryan Rupert. I skipped over Julian Phillips from Tennessee because I just don't know enough about him. Maxwell Lewis, G.G. Jackson, Jalen Wilson, not really my guy at 37. Mari Bailey, a backup point guard. James Nagy, as I said. You could even go another pretty dang good shooter, Brandon Podzimski from Santa Clara. You know, Julian Strother from Gonzaga. That's probably where I kind of stop. I knew like Drew Timmy from Gonzaga is interesting for some. I think he's a UDFA. Muhammad Gai from Washington State. He's a big and he's kind of interesting, but he might be a UDFA. Mojave King from the G League. You know, looking at some of those G League guys are kind of what I would look at. But, you know, getting having at least two picks in that top 40 and then, you know, is kind of like what I would want. Obviously, 47 is on the edge of that, but there's usually a guy or two that slides that you're pretty ecstatic with. I can't get behind of just trading 17 away, period. As we said at the beginning of the show, the currency in the NBA right now is draft picks.
100% is.
And you can't just dump them. All right. We've talked some about trade back. Let's talk about some of the guys that you would look to trade up for. We already know Grady Dick is on your list. So
Anthony Black would be one if he falls to like 10, 11. I'd understand Bufkin more than Hawkins.
Mm-hmm.
I love Derek Lively. I think Duke's become a team now where players, latterly towards Coach K's tenure because he got old. Mm-hmm. And now, especially that Coach K isn't there and Duke's still getting players because they're Duke. They're underutilized when they get to there. So because of that, I'm all in on Derek Lively. I think he's awesome.
Yeah.
I'd trade up for Grady Dick personally. I really would. Especially if it's like, if you're giving up like a couple of future seconds to move up like three or four spots to make sure that he's there. Cool. Like it, it doesn't affect me in the slightest.
For me, it just depends on how the board is for trading up for Grady Dick. If Bilal or Leonard and Grady Dick are all there at 10, 11, 12 and or like Kobe Bufkin, you know, like because it kind of seems for me that if you just, I mean, looking at his at the big board for Sambassini, that 10 through 13 and then Grady Dick at 17. 10 is Lively, 11 is Bufkin, 12 is Bilal, and then 12 is Leonard, or 13 is Leonard. Mm-hmm. I'm trading up for one of those four and then Grady Dick. I would, if they're all gone and Dick is the only funny, which is if he's the only one there at 14, you know, in a lottery, I'm trading up for him.
Yeah. Like, you know? I don't even think about it twice.
Yeah. If like we're at 14 and you know, like Jordan Hood Schifiano has snuck up there, someone took Jordan Hawkins, you know, someone was just, they're just now betting on the talent of Derek Whitehead, you know, and you have some of those guys available at like 13 and or 14 and you're just like, okay, no, I can get one of those guys. That's kind of where like I'm not trading back, you know.
Yeah, makes sense.
Or trading up. And if I trade back, it's because all of those guys are gone before I want. There's really like you're not getting a chance at, I think, those five later on, you know.
I agree. No, so, definitely agree with that.
So, all right. We won't drag this on much unless, Alan, you had anything else that you wanted to talk about.
I hope Chris Paul doesn't become a Laker. Apart from that, please, Clippers, also trade for Chris Paul while you're trading for Brogdon.
Oh, man, that'd be funny.
Because, A, it means we don't get Chris Paul at the Lakers, and B, it means that Russell Westbrook's without a team, and that would be hilarious to me.
Yeah, still. There were people that I saw on Twitter the other day that were saying we should bring back Russ now that the team is structured better. And I'm like, you are beyond stupid. Like, we saw that actor the first time and it did not turn out well. He hasn't changed. And just because the roster has improved some, like, doesn't mean, like, or the roster has improved greatly in a way that, you know, it fits better. But I don't, there's no way in hell that I'm bringing him back. Like, he couldn't pay the Lakers to bring him back, in my opinion. Oh, and I don't think
Lakers want him back.
No. And anyone that says otherwise is just a stan. They have no idea what they're talking about.
They have no morals. And the fact that you're a Westbrook stan means you have less than no morals to begin with. Imagine stunning that guy.
It's.
And again, I'm talking about it in a basketball context.
Yes.
Because off the court, he seems like a good dude.
Yeah,
I always have to preface that with Ross, but my God, he's so annoying to watch. Like, he killed my love for basketball.
I had a hard time watching any games the last 2 years before he got dealt.
And then it was great.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Even though we got swept in the conference finals.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Real quick, let's talk about that. We talked about that in the before we started recording. I want to talk about that right now. Okay. The Lakers got swept, obviously. We didn't do a review of that. People were still saying that was a failure. Do you agree with that at all?
Well, it depends what angle you're looking from. If you're looking from title or bust, then yeah, absolutely, it's a failure. But if you're looking from the standpoint of 2-10, up until February, we were like 7 games under 500, and we become the 7th seed, we beat a good fit Memphis team, a very good Golden State team. And if you win game three, I said it in the group chat, I said if we lose game three, it's a sweep. If we win game three, it's probably a 6 or 7 game series. And I have no idea who wins.
Yeah.
Like, that game three was the series, in my opinion. And I'm not saying they gave up in game four, because they didn't. They absolutely did not give up.
Well, they were within, what, five at the end? I can't remember exactly the final score.
So, you know, kudos to Denver.
Yeah.
Kudos to Jokic. He deserves it. Beyond deserves it. Just because people will stop attacking him now for no reason. Guy's the best basketball player in the world. He has been for 2 years, in my opinion. People go, well, that's your bias to the ex-Yugoslavian region. No, just watch him play basketball. Like, literally, it's that simple.
He's greatly improved on defense.
Oh, we don't talk about that enough. You can't target him anymore. Like, even when you switch out on him, he's so smart that he's realized his deficiencies on defense, and he knows where to be. Like, to the point where I was talking to Ralph in a group chat. Ralph Mason, shout out to Ralph. Really great guy. Really good follow as well for Laker fans. Not just Laker fans, but just a great follow, I think, in general. I was talking to Ralph about it. And he seems like one of those players who could play at least close to this level, to at least 39, 40. Just because his game isn't predicated on athleticism, like, at all. No. Like, he's just better than you, basketball-wise.
Yeah.
And it's like Larry Bird could have played till he was 40 if injuries didn't break him down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I legitimately believe that. So, they deserve their flowers. I'm happy for KCP.
Yeah.
I'm sad for Miami because, I don't know, I feel like as Laker fans have a soft spot for Miami in general. I feel like it's because of Pat Riley.
I don't.
Most people. You don't have a soft spot for anyone, though.
No, this is true. I appreciate what Pat did for the Lakers back in the day. After not getting Dwayne Wade for Shaq back in the day, no, fuck off.
Well, that's not Pat Riley's fault.
No, I know. I'm saying that's on also the Lakers for that back in the day. But
I love Lamar, so
yeah,
there is that.
It's true.
We got Lamar Odom out of it, but no. Yeah. So I'm sad that Miami didn't win, but. Again, I don't think it could happen to a nicer person in Jokic and a better basketball player. Happy for KCP. I'm happy for Mike Malone because I know he said some stuff, but I don't think I think he was mostly trying to motivate his team. Like, I don't think he actively hates people. Like,
no,
he was
Malone,
a good
co- Malone like, coached he, LeBron in Cleveland, right?
And also, yeah, he was LeBron still talks about him like as one of his favorite coaches ever.
Yeah, and, so it's just hysterical.
No, and you can tell there's like a little bit of jest in that whenever he mentions it. It's not like it's not like Monty Williams, for example.
Yeah.
Monty says stuff because he's an awful...
Detroit, fucking hysterical that they gave up that much money for him.
So I agree on sort of, but I also understand why they did it. Because I think Monty is very good at getting buy-in from players. And I think he can develop that young core in Detroit. I don't think he can take him over the top, but I think he can get him to a certain point. So I get it. And you need a tone setter, especially because that franchise has been terrible for so long. They need a tone setter, essentially.
Yeah.
So I understand it. But my God, if I'm Eric Spoelstra and I see that deal, I go to Pat Riley and I'm like 19 a year. Like, simple as. Like, if he's getting 13, I need 19.
Yeah, Monty is not a top five coach at all. Like,
he's a top
10
ish coach.
Yeah, he's on that border. Like, the only reason why, and I hate even saying this, the only reason why the Suns even got as good as they did is because they got Chris Paul.
Oh, they got him at the right time because that was the last year of his prime.
Yep.
Like the last year where Chris Paul was legitimately elite still, and he was in 2021. I don't care what anyone says. He was phenomenal.
For sure. Yeah. I will also say that Jokic is one of my favorites now just because of his I don't give a fuck attitude.
Oh, yeah.
How he was like, no one loves their job. And if they say they do, they're lying. You know, like that was endearing in my opinion. I know a lot of people are like, you're playing basketball, you're making millions. It's still a job. He has to go to practice. Like, you have to go to work. He has those games that are incredibly, you know, demanding on his body.
He's not talking about the actual game of basketball. He's talking about the job that basketball is.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it is a job. It's a very good paying job, but you know, Well, it's because I won't get into that.
No, but I agree with you there. No, I do, legitimately. Yeah, I'm in full agreement, bro.
For sure. As you had said, yeah, if it's title or bust, you know, yeah, it's a failure in that sense of the word, but I didn't think of it as that. I thought that it was a really good opportunity for them to get there and win another title. But
yes,
after that 2-10 start, and they up until the deal of Westbrook, that team had no chance of even really getting in the play-in.
No,
so
completely agree.
Yeah, so even after that trade, they had to essentially play playoff games from February. Or
yeah, they were just gassed March. By the end.
They
of
were
that.
Gassed. LeBron got hurt, you know. So like, it just is what it is. So, while no title, you could say that's a failure, I guess, and fair. But at the same time, like, this was a successful season. They got to the Western Conference Finals. You know, Phoenix didn't get there. Sacramento, Golden State, you know, all of them, they didn't get there. Like,
yeah.
Like, and to the teams that said that they would have done better, well, I guess you should have gotten there in the first place. So
exactly. You know, so we got there, and I wish that we did, but it is what it is.
So
yeah.
All right, we will go ahead and end it there. Thank you all for listening. Shout out to Alan for joining us on his beautiful evening in Manchester, right? You said that's where you live?
Absolutely.
And thank you all for joining again. Rate and review. Let's hope that merge gets this posted by the time the draft is done. And tomorrow will be interesting. Again, hopefully by the time that you finish listening to this, we should also have another podcast posted as well from Merge and I. So thank you all for joining. Shout out to Alan, and y'all have a great one.
Take care, guys.